So, like, this mic's floppy. I don't know. Let's see. So, you know what happened to me on the way to work today?
What happened?
So, you know, Troy's in town, so I picked him up.
Yep.
And we're cruising, and my vehicle tried to eject us out of the front windshield.
Yeah?
Straight up.
On the highway? Or local streets?
Yeah, it was. There was nothing in front of us.
Nothing. Like,
no, nothing. And then I got this red screen of death. It's okay. What I actively refer to the part that that's, you know, like the MFD, they call it, you know, like because I have a Volkswagen, right? So like the multi-function display.
Okay.
It turns solid red and then goes to this like dotted line with a car in it in red to basically say, hey, like you're about to drive into something.
Okay. So you're gonna
yeah. So if you wait long enough, it will slam on the brakes
automatically.
Yeah, enough to like give you a little like, don't hit this car.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Yep.
Right? Except there was nothing in front of me. So all it did was make me poo my pants.
So do you have any idea why?
No. It's happened to me a few times. So I'm like,
it's kind of dangerous, yeah? Problem?
I think so. I mean, but like, so the question is, so it's like, so is that the deal with these driver aids? Like when they're great when they work, but when they malfunction, everything goes to hell in a handbasket?
I guess so. In my Mazda, you said red screen of death. It made me think of my Mazda 3 that I had.
Oh, because like, the death thing, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. But
no, if you were to get too close to someone, they used to get like a red screen and would say, brake, brake, brake.
Right.
And you get a little.
But feedback. It didn't slam on the brakes for you.
I can't remember, honestly. Right. I know there was noise and brake. And the first time I ever heard that, I was like, whoa, what is this? And
yeah.
Yeah. And
I just think that some of these things like are a little frightening. Like, there's nothing greater to hit you in the poo button more than your car braking out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Right? I mean, if you're in traffic and there's someone in front of you and you're, you know, maybe they hit the brakes and then your car is like, oh, brake, you know, and they do it for you.
Right.
Like you'd be like, okay, that was maybe nice.
So we saw that yesterday.
Uh huh.
Driving back, it was funny. It's funny. So Troy and I are in the HOV, so we're cruising.
Right.
Right. But then there's this, you know, we're watching the stop and go traffic just off to our right.
Okay.
So, like, you see all the people that aren't paying attention and their car's automatically doing the nosedive, slamming the brake thing. But you can tell, you can almost artificially tell when it's not a person. It's not somebody going, oh, crap, and slamming the brakes, because it's just very, like,
abrupt?
No, it's hard. It's like you can almost see it because it's the exact distance. Like, you know that the car calculated, all right, I need to brake now or I'm never going to be able to get this thing stopped. It's not like a person where there's kind of like that, you know, slam on the brake, watch the ABS kick in. This is kind of like a nose down, controlled stop. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I feel like you can look at it and be like, oh, there, that's that.
That's,
you know?
That's interesting. I don't think I've noticed that in particular.
I drive a lot further than you do every day.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a question I was going to ask was going to be, is, so you're coming in at rush hour time, yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, is the HOV lane, like, really that much better?
Yeah.
At that time? Yeah, it is?
Yeah. I mean, I don't get to use the HOV lane every time. I mean,
right.
The truth is, like Troy being with me is what has allowed that to be a thing.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, like, I mean, I wish I could take the HOV every day.
I feel like I've seen the HOV and it's been backed up plenty of times.
Well, I think it happens. I think, you know, they said for New York, they said that in 2000, I think it's 24,
mm-hmm.
Or 2025, you know, because New York, I don't, you know, for those listening out there, the New York has this clean pass.
Yeah.
And the clean pass allows you, if you have certain vehicles that are on the clean pass list, to apply for that thing, get a little sticker. I'm sure California, I'm sure these states have them.
Yeah.
Where basically it has nothing to do with how many people are occupied in the vehicle. It has everything to do with the vehicle and whether that vehicle is on the list. And if it is, you know, for low emissions or electric or whatever it is, mm-hmm. you can get your car into the HOV lane with only you driving.
Right. I think that was their way of saying, hey, no one seems to be carpooling.
Right. So then in 2000, I think in 2025, New York State's going to, I think, restrict that. They're going to say, hey, listen, Clean Pass is done.
Wow.
It's going to only high occupancy vehicle, two or more.
Hmm.
Because I think what's happening is as everybody's getting these vehicles, the lane's becoming more populated.
Yeah, totally.
So now it's just a fourth lane.
Well, let's be honest. All the roads out here are congested.
Yeah.
You know, but and also how's the speeding camera things?
I don't want to talk about it. You know, because here's the thing.
It's speed, right?
Yeah, it's speed. Yeah. It's getting annoying. And it's not even because I don't understand. Like, so here's the thing. This is where I think – this is the world we live in right now, where we live in a world where people make policies for other people and they disguise a money grab under safety.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Red light cameras.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speeding cameras. I think that they're kind of – because you can make a correlation and say, oh, okay, well, these cameras will – when people know that they have to stop, mm-hmm. they won't blow through intersections. They'll stop, you know, accidents at intersections, right?
Yep.
When people have speeding cameras, they'll go slower out of fear of getting a ticket. And because of that, you'll see less accidents.
Yes.
Now, I forget when it was, and I don't have any facts to back it up.
You know,
that's usually how I come.
You know what you could do?
What?
Which, you know, if we want to boycott the speeding cameras, everyone go the speed limit and just get into a bunch of accidents. They'll be like, wow, since people started driving slower, there's been an increase in accidents. And then they'll be like, oh, you got to get rid of the speeding cameras.
For those of you who don't know the sound of
that's,
my voice.
That's reverse psychology.
That was Rich's idea.
Yeah, that's reverse psychology.
I would advise not to do Rich's idea.
Hey, I mean, it would probably work, to be honest, because they're going to look at those statistic reports and be like, why is there an increase in accidents over in this area?
Right. Well, I do remember that when red cameras, red light cameras were first kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
One of the things that was on the agenda were people basically saying, like, there was more rear endings that were happening at intersections.
Because
they're slamming on their brakes to stop.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I do think that there, you know, the one thing that gets lost with these red light cameras is that ability to, you know, look, all right, let me put it this way. I think there's two arguments to coming to an intersection and going through a red light.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Because.
Too far from the mic.
Too far from the. I thought you were about to drop beats. No. Sorry. So I think the issue is that. You can make the argument that, well, if they went through a red light camera, they were going to go through an intersection. But there is this – and you could also say, well, if you would go through a red light camera, if you would go through an intersection, that means you were probably going too fast. You should have been able to slow down in time. Let's say the light changes on you and your discretion as a driver is to punch it, make it through the intersection.
Yep.
So there's going to be that argument that says – as a driver, you should have been going slow enough that when that yellow light approached, you should have been safely able to slow your vehicle down to the line.
I think that was the intention behind that, yeah.
The whole yellow
thing. Yeah, the whole yellow thing, yeah.
Yeah. But then there's this real reality that says that there's going to be situations in the course of driving where if you remember back – let me know if you remember this. I remember very clearly – from driver's ed way back yonder, where them stressing that at the end of the day, driving is a series of judgment calls. And, you know, in some situations, you have to make a judgment call based off of the overall safety of the operation of your vehicle.
Okay.
So let's now put a scenario in place. For example,
love scenarios.
Right. Winter. Ice. Yes, yep. You should be going slow. But let's say you get to a point and you're coming to an intersection and your fear is if I slam on the brakes or if I get onto the brake aggressively to slow myself down just to point at where I'm at, I could potentially run the risk of sliding or losing control of my vehicle.
Certainly.
So I opt to take what I feel as a driver is the safer measure to punch it out.
Okay. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And so just to make sure I make the light, so I'm not impeding on anybody's intersection. But let's say timing wise,
that's like the logic behind jet skis. You know?
No, I have no idea.
No.
What? Like, what does that even mean?
Well, a jet ski. If something's happening, you're about to get into a collision. You don't slow down. You accelerate.
With a jet ski.
Yes, you do.
So you mean you come up?
Max has a lot of experience on jet skis. I'm sure he could back me up on this. But just saying.
I hear you. But what I'm saying is. So
that's what they, that's what they taught me.
This is bringing in too many. So now you're on a jet ski and you see let's say another boat approaching.
You're supposed to accelerate. Yes.
And burst through the side of the boat like a Lethal Weapon.
Not through
and
it.
And like
but you
there's
gotta,
fires and flames and you're coming through like
you know when you're driving in traffic or not even traffic, just on the roads and like you know there's like a little uncertainty on what the next driver is gonna do, so everyone kind of comes to a slow freeze. And then everyone's kind of like, you going? I'm going? Who's going? You know?
Right.
Like that? You don't do that on jet skis. Jet skis, you go, I'm getting out of the way, and you accelerate.
So you're pulling out the Days of Thunder, Cold Trickle, like, go through the smoke at full yeah, steam because the car won't be there when you get
Nicolas Cage gone in 60 seconds.
You're saying, book it toward where the accident is right now because it won't be there when you get there.
Yeah, I mean, potentially.
Nice.
Potentially. Maybe I'm not painting a good enough picture on this, and I also don't have enough experience on jet skis, but I feel like that was kind of where you were going with the ice sliding through the accelerating through the red. Right. Yeah, it was
so let's help out.
Wait. Jet skis only turn if you give it gas. You can't turn if there's no gas.
Okay, so.
Boat stuff.
That's what the jet ski instructor was telling us when I first learned.
Right.
You
know, okay.
They're like, you have to go on the throttle.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so
I understand the logic there. Yeah. Right. Like, you know, because it's a power driven steering type thing. You know what I mean? Like,
Don't freeze up and brake and figure it out. Like, get out of the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it wasn't the best analogy, but.
No, it's a great analogy.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem.
Well, so yellow light, icy roads.
Icy roads. You punch it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just go to the red light intersection and get a ticket.
Oh, you think? Oh, and you do get a ticket.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. Well, you go through the red light. There's no determination. That camera doesn't know anything except you cross the beam.
So you're saying that instead of also maybe slamming on the brakes and still getting a ticket because you might just end up sliding through?
I'm just saying that, like, I think that there are going to be those cases that driver judgment
mm-hmm.
should be a factor, but these cameras will never let it be. It will always be, well, did you go through the red light? Yes. All right, ticket.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, and you can make a bunch of different arguments for the reason that leading up to that, you should have been doing something different. But the reality is that's not always going to be the case. Sometimes you're going to – let's take that same situation and back it up for just a minute, right, and say, all right, so that happened. Let's play out the alternative.
Mm-hmm.
That person realizes that they are going, again, a little too fast or they don't notice the light goes yellow, or by the time the light goes yellow, they're like – they panic. Like, oh, all right, well, should I go? Should I go? All right, no, I should stop because I don't want to get the red light camera.
Yep.
And they're late to brake, and they get in there, and they slide through the intersection in just enough time where another car jumps them, boom, smash.
Wow.
I guess what I'm saying is, or that person slams on the brakes just enough, and because it's icy, the person in back of them rear-ends them.
Okay.
Sending them into the intersection.
Yeah.
12 cars pile up onto this one car.
12?
There's a massive explosion. An oil tanker falls down next to it.
Okay.
Explodes. All because of a red light camera. What I'm saying is maybe that driver should have just used the judgment that they went with their gut with. And instead of thinking about the camera, they should have thought about, well, the safest play here is for me to drive through.
So could
they would have avoided a 12-car pileup. A tanker exploding.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
If they went with their gut and they didn't have the second thought of the red light.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
Yes, I get it.
So it's a serious problem. That's right. So some of these cameras and things, they're making it so that you lose a little driver's judgment. And they're saying, in the nature of safety, we've put these cameras in.
Yep.
To which you will get hit with a $50 penalty. Don't worry, no points.
Slap on the wrist.
No worries, no points.
Mm-hmm.
Just pay the $50 fine. Oh, except when you're going to pay it online like you have any other choice. You're just going to pay that and the $35 administration fee. And by the way, your county gets like 2% of the money. The rest of it goes to this company because we spent X amount of millions of dollars with the cameras, but we really financed them by giving them most of the cut of how much we make on tickets.
Cash grab?
That's my point. Like, at what point do we get to that part where we're like, you know what? Some of these things are disguised as safety measures, right? These cameras, like, that's recently gone up with us, right? Like, they put them on the side of the expressway, taped or whatever they secure them with to these cars.
Yep.
And they say, if you're in a work zone and you're, and you know, then you're going to get, and you're speeding, you're going to get this ticket.
Yeah.
Right? I think they say it's 11 miles an hour over. The truth is, I don't trust that even. Because I kind of feel like, well, even if it's 5 miles, like, who knows where.
I've also heard it's 11.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah.
But I've heard it from probably the same people you've heard it from. It's called the internet. And everybody keeps, the same way that everybody keeps forwarding over the same thing of the list of these cameras, and that's not accurate either.
Yeah, yeah, I was driving on the LAE, and I also didn't see it in some of the spots that they said.
Because they're lying. Somebody put together a list of cameras, and half of them are just red light cameras. They don't look the same.
Yeah.
They don't look the same. Like, you've seen one of those cars now.
I have.
They do not look the same as the cameras that are at those intersections doing the red light tickets.
No, they're not.
Not at all.
Yeah, not the same at all. Yeah.
So, you know, so now we got these things that are in arbitrary sections. Now, on the expressway, every morning, we get to work zones. The problem with work zones, especially in New York, and I'd imagine California and some of these other states where rush hour or there's a lot more traffic and stuff, is that you're going to run into an issue where work zones kind of roll a little bit. Like, they're not going to be the same every day, right? You may be working on the same area, but, you know, it may change by 1,000 feet. It may go this way. You may have, you know, some of these issues where there's no clearly defined sign that says work zone starts here, right? Work zone ends here. I'm telling you right now.
Start and end versus ahead. That's all you get is ahead.
You get ahead. But that could be 2 miles ahead.
Yeah,
a mile ahead.
Well, yeah, then you have that. It's almost like paranoia for 2 miles.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, did I get through the work zone?
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah, I get it.
So and then you're like, all right, well, where does it start and where does it stop?
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, how long do you go? So what's happening on the expressway is when you come in the morning, it's you start to see cones and people are like, this must be it. And they slow down immediately, right? So they're slowing down. They're doing their thing. And the whole area is jammed up because now people are all trying to go really slow. And now people are around them. And then you get the idiots that are trying to, like, not pay attention. They're going through. And then, you know, eventually it lets up because people were like, oh, yeah, I think it's safe. I don't think I see any cones anymore, right? And but meanwhile, you know, everybody's worried about these cameras. Like, listen, work zones, yes, people should slow down. You got people working there. But when they're not there and there's just cones pushed off to the side of the road and the signs that stay saying work zone ahead, so now you're going slow and you're like, there's not even anybody here.
Well, I mean, that was like the Jackie Robinson for how many years?
Oh, like 42.
Yeah.
I think it was the same as his number.
Number, right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't I don't know. I mean, I just think that there's – I feel like this is a like a chronic problem. We roll in laws, we roll in these things, or we roll in these, this is what we're going to do for safety, and we don't really put a clarity on how this thing is going to work. If I knew for sure that here's the road work start sign, here's the road work end sign, these are the hours, or this is when it's applicable, the same as a school zone, I'd slow down.
Right, school zone's very clear.
Very clear.
These days, this time, and then it's start and stop.
And they got it. I mean, they have signs. They have it on the thing. Like, you know what I mean? And I do think that on a majority of at least our streets, 15 miles an hour is still too slow for a school zone.
Too slow?
I have kids in school, right? Like, so I don't say this lightly. 15 miles an hour. Too slow for a school zone. Because the school zone doesn't just go in front of the school, okay?
Right.
If you were to say to me, hey, you got to be down to 25 miles or 30 miles an hour, you know, to start the slowdown process, and then when you got, let's say, within 100 feet in front of a school building, it said drops down to 15, and then as soon as you get past the school, it goes. But it doesn't do that.
Right. It's the whole time.
It's the whole time.
Which is past the entire property.
15 miles an hour in today's car.
Yeah.
is like putting the car in drive, not touching the gas, and just coasting.
Right.
Like it doesn't. I mean, you've seen how fast some of these cars can stop. I mean, I bet you throw a kid in front of my car without me even paying attention, my red screen of death is going to come up. It's going to stop. But if it doesn't, I'm pissed off because it stops when there's nobody in front of my car.
Right. I mean, that's no reason to
throw a kid in my front of my car. Right. Well, listen, what if I use my own kids to test it out? I'm just saying that we need to know the facts, and I'm prepared to do this for my listeners, for our listeners, to make sure that they are properly armed with the correct data. I'll toss one of my kids in front, and I'll put it in drive, and I'll just see if it stops. But even like now thinking about this red screen of death again.
Yes.
What's going on with these driver stability things? Like, what's going on with these driver aids? Like, are they making us safer? Are they making us more dangerous? Like, I don't think that they're making people better drivers.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. When does assistance become too much assistance? And then it takes away from, I don't know, capability?
Do you ever feel like these driver assist systems are actually, like, a ploy? For example,
a ploy.
Well, yeah. Stay with me for a second. I'm gonna bring in. I'm gonna leave the tanker one out of this.
Okay, all tanker right. one. Yeah.
So, a ploy in the sense of, all right, we're looking at them and they're using them as the safety thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we're gonna make these cars more safe.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, what they're saying is, no. This is to warm people up to the fact that in a few years they won't be driving.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mm.
We're gonna take away their driving freedoms. Now, where are the Trump supporters on this one?
So basically,
they're taking away our freedoms.
So basically,
right?
You're trying to say, like, it's almost like a desensitized to having full control over certain aspects of the car to warm them up to potential automated driving. Is that
well? I'm not saying that. I'm hypothesizing that. What if?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm using it as a conspiracy theory.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, what if the possibility exists that while these systems are there to make us safer, it's really just we put enough of these on board, we slowly start taking away what a driver has to do,
mm-hmm.
and we work more towards autonomous driving.
I mean, I don't know, but there's a part of me that also feels like some of the driver aids are pretty darn good.
Tell me the ones you like. There's only one I love.
Right. So I think we have an agreement on this. I've heard you say it before. Yeah. But the blind spot monitoring is pretty good.
Yeah, it's
good. I must say that's good. That's good stuff.
Whoever developed that one, kudos. That's a good one.
But yeah, I do like the blind spot monitor. And I don't know if you want to consider it a safety feature, but a backup camera is pretty useful.
Backup cameras. I mean, but would you? I would argue that now, if you put me in a car that doesn't have a backup camera, I know.
Yeah.
I know because, like, you know, that I'm not nearly as proficient. Like, I've seen some of these people in parking lots,
mm-hmm.
and you know when they don't have one.
Yeah.
Because they suck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know, I mean, I forgot what it is. I think all cars from, it's either 2017, 2018, or 2019, one of those years, since that year on, all cars are required to have a backup camera.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's one of those years. I can't remember. Somewhere in that bunch. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, the backup camera stuff is good. Like, my car has, like, a little, like, beep in if something's behind me.
Yeah, I got that, too.
And you get a little whatever. But, like, and I've had it beep before when there's nothing there.
Mm.
Like, so, you know, I get that. But in the end of it, it really helps. So, 2018. So, all cars after 2018 has to have backup cameras. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. And then I guess there's some weirder stuff. Like, I'll tell you this. On my Mazda had...
more death talk, huh?
Oh, it was weird. It had facial recognition stuff where, like, if I was on the highway for a long period of time and it detected that my face was starting to, like, do something different, it would, like, give you a thing like, hey, you're starting to fall asleep. And it would give you, like, a little, like, a shake on the steering wheel or
your
something.
Your face?
I swear, it did. It had
did
that.
Did you ever, like, get in the car, like, with clown makeup on just to see if it would start messing with it?
No, but it only did it once ever, and I think I was kind of like dozing off maybe or something. And I remember that was the only time I ever saw it, and because I remember seeing in the manual that has those features, and it did it once. And I was like, that's crazy. Like my car dash or cluster is staring at me and can pick up on a significant facial change.
Wow.
So if I start to like, you know, it's gonna go beep 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 beep.
Right. Like if anybody's having a stroke, it's gonna let them know
and do nothing. Besides beep and make a lot of noise and probably make it worse. Isn't that crazy stuff? It's weird.
So like you yawn and your car yells at you.
Yes, it did. That's a real thing.
That's crazy.
That was a 2020 Mazda 3. You guys can look it up. That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm telling you, that tanker is gonna be everywhere. Yeah. It's gonna be blowing up. So, I love blind spot monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a. So here's what I think. I'm for driver's aids to bring more alert or attention to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Where I start to struggle are driver's aids to take over.
Yeah, assistance.
Because first off, it's a really scary feeling. Well, you could claim it's for stopping, but I'm telling you right now, I have multiple times been in the poo button situation.
Yeah.
Where my car decides it wants to yank on those brakes. I don't know where, because it thinks it sees something.
I hate that.
I don't know what it sees.
I hate that.
Like, do you think my car sees ghosts?
Could. Maybe. You ever see a video of the Tesla seeing ghosts?
No, is that a thing?
Yeah. You can look, I'm not going to get too far into it, but there's plenty of videos of Teslas who, like, pick up on what seem to be ghosts.
And it stops?
No.
Or just speeds up?
No, it shows it on the display, because it can show, like, pedestrians and, like walking as like a simulated animation pedestrian walking or something. And the like there was a video of a guy in like a graveyard parked with his Tesla and there was just people all around his car on the tablet.
So wait.
I swear that's a real video.
Listen, so here's my question, right?
Yeah.
Do you think hypothetically that cars can be programmed for their cameras to see certain things to actually like react in a certain way? Example. They upload a picture of the guy or in like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre gear.
Okay.
And it says, if you see this, you floor it. You know what I mean? Or can they do something where it's like, you know, like think about the movies they had a few years ago, the Sharknado movies, right? If you see a flying shark, avoid the shark to the right, keep going. No, but it's seriously, like, let's see. If a man's holding a gun to you,
okay,
throw the e-brake, turn the car to the side, accelerate in a different direction. You know what I mean? Like, is there something? Can we program? Are these cars going to be programmed to avoid a series of events?
Maybe. I mean, all you got to do is start with one, right? Focus on one particular thing and see if they can execute that.
Do you remember when we had all those conversations? And this was a good podcast that we talked about a while ago about the takeovers.
Yes.
All right. Can it be that manufacturers will start programming in that if they see vehicles that are doing patterns like this, they'll automatically stop the vehicle?
That's crazy.
How far do we get from police having the ability to shut a vehicle down that they're chasing? Are we there right now? Like, can a cop chasing another car call OnStar and give them the plate? No, I'm asking. I just want to know.
Hey, we're gonna need you guys to kill it.
We're gonna need you. Go ahead and. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Uses XXRC. Okay, yeah, all right. But we I've seen that. That's like some real. That was some Fast and the Furious stuff that they.
Yeah, that's the. They do that in the movie, yeah.
Yeah, the NY. Wait, NYPD.
That looks like the device they use in the movie.
That is. That's gotta be it.
Two.
Adhesive. Tipped GPS tracking, yeah, but that's tracking cars, right? What I'm thinking of,
shut it down.
Like, can is it going to get to a point where all right? Let's hypothetically say you're a police officer, you're in a high speed pursuit, you're chasing this guy on the highway, and then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, this is crazy. He's never going to stop. I'm not going to risk everybody's life. OnStar, yeah. Here's this plate number. This New York City, you know. Detective, whatever. My badge number is this. I'm going to need you to turn that car off.
Yeah. And then you just go,
all and right. Then you just roll up to him and go, how you feeling about it now? Yeah.
And they just kill switch it remotely?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because I know for a fact that I've locked keys in the car, in a rental car.
And they can open it.
Did anybody tell you the story about the tire rack thing?
No.
Oh, my God. I had the HRV from hell.
The HRV?
HRV.
The Honda.
The Honda HRV. The
smaller one.
They claim it's a truck. All right, that's wrong, I overstepped my bounds. It wasn't a truck.
That thing's a hatchback with electric clearance. Right.
But anyhow, I get this nightmare from Chicago O'Hara Airport. Mm-hmm. Rented it. I'm driving out. I immediately realize that every 15 seconds, the wheel shakes violently.
Why?
It's this active lane control thing. It's telling me that. Obviously, I'm too close to the line. So the wheel shakes.
Okay. So lane keeping assist, essentially.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
I think that's what it's called.
I don't care. Now, I try to shut it off a dozen times. But when I'm in the city, like going through the city outer limits of Chicago, it's just it's pretty busy. So I'm like, all right, well. So as soon as I get to get onto a highway that like is, you know, doesn't have a lot of traffic on it, pull off under the shoulder. Pull up the manual, I start looking through, I figure out how to turn this thing off, turn it off, get back on the highway, 12 seconds later, shaking again.
Wow, so it wasn't even after you turn off the car and restart it? It just...
No, like, the thing was bunk. I don't know what to deal with. So I turned it off.
So this is what you dealt with? So, Honda sensing?
Yeah, well, let me tell you about Honda sensing. Yeah. It sensed a lot of crap, but nothing. I'm driving in the middle of the lane. No, see that? You see how they pull you towards one side and they're saying, oh, the wheel starts to shake. Right, and the wheel actually starts to guide you back into the lane.
So were you just having a hard time staying in the center?
No, that's crap because I'm telling you, this car is like only 12 centimeters wide. Right, I had so much lane, and this thing kept every 12 seconds. And obviously, there was something wrong with the calibration camera or wherever they're getting it from. But it was absolutely infuriating.
Wow!
And I tried to turn it off 3 times.
I've never had a car with lane keeping assist.
So it drove like that all the way back. Well, then I get into the hotel, and you know, and I'm going to Tire Rack to have a meeting, and so I put on my little cool guy suit,
nice.
It's basically me as a stuffed sausage wearing a tie. So. As I put on my cool guy suit, I go out in the morning. I'm leaving early enough.
Yeah.
Because I want to be early. You don't want to be late to a meeting.
No, of course not.
No. And I go to get in the car and I say, you know what? I should take off my jacket. I don't want to get it wrinkled.
That is a fair point.
Now, I don't wear suits a lot. So when I wear a suit, you know, I want to make sure I can do the best I could do with it. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I take off my jacket and then I said to myself, well, if I put my jacket in the back seat, because this car is so friggin' small, I'm going to have a blind spot. And we don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it in the trunk. Open up the trunk. Now, the whole way driving in, this car has been having a rattle in the rear that I don't know where it's coming from. I get to the trunk. I open up the trunk to put my jacket in the hook on the rear there. And I realize why it's been rattling.
What is it?
As soon as I open up the trunk, inside, you know, like there's like little depression where the striker is, the latches for mm-hmm. There's two 10mm bolts there. And I look up at the tailgate and the latch is dangling. Wow. I'm like, oh, well, I can fix this, you know? Because that's what kind of guy I am.
Yeah.
I'm not going to leave it on. No things left unfixed.
Yes.
So I take the 10mm bolts, I start putting them in. And I drop one. And I bend down to go pick up the 10mm bolt, and the stupid hatch thing...
Falls on your head?
No, it shuts.
Oh, wow.
No problem. Oh, wait a minute. My keys are in the car.
Oh, my God.
But it shouldn't be locked, because I unlocked the car, and I've been... Right?
Yeah.
It's locked.
It doesn't have proximity? The whole touch proximity thing with the key fob?
No, it likes to lock the car itself.
Wow.
While the key is inside the car. That's crazy. So, Honda, let me explain to you what happened here. You screwed me. So now the thing goes, now I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna be late. The only thing I have on is my phone. Everything else I have in the world is in this car. I panic, front desk, gotta come some guy, call some guy. I'm like, hey, you know, I need to get into my car. And he's like, all right, well, you know, I'm just working on another car. I'll be there. I'm like, well, when you get, I, you know, I'll pay you extra. Just come now, you know?
Yeah.
And finally the guy's like, look, you know, I'm working on another car as soon as I finish here. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, like, what am I going to do? Try to call the rental car company and like, there's 17 prompts. I'm like, I'm never getting through, right. You know? So finally this dude shows up out of nowhere like a knight in shining armor. And the worst part is the trunk is so loose that I almost feel like I can get my hand inside the trunk, but it's not enough to open it.
Wow, it's that loose. You know
what I mean? It's that loose. So, and that's what's been rattling the whole way. So anyhow, bottom line is this guy shows up. I like throw money at him. I'm like, how much is it? And I was like, I don't care. Take all my money. You know what I mean? And he got me into the car real quick, and then I drove off into the sunset. But.
You know what I take away from that story?
I could take a lot of things away from this.
Oh, trunk. I got a big takeaway from that story.
Okay.
So I would not have fixed that trunk.
I mean,
that's what happens when you try to be a good guy, Scott.
I take that away now. I will say that it was a much more enjoyable ride back to Chicago, even with the steering wheel rattling shaking, the whole way.
Keeping you in the center.
I don't think it was doing that. And it was much more enjoyable without hearing. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Anyhow, so that's another stability. That's another driver's aid that I wish I could have absolutely, you know, I recognize some of these things may decrease accidents.
Yeah.
Like a blind spot I would believe blind spot monitoring really does that.
Yeah.
But I mean, my vehicle doesn't push me back into the lane.
Mine doesn't either.
It may beep if I start to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But like, The Honda lane assist, if you get too close to that line, or at least it thinks if you get to that close to the line, it tightens up the steering wheel.
So it won't allow you to change lanes unless you have a blinker on, I'm assuming. Because the blinker has to be the thing that overrides it to be like, okay, they're moving now.
I think that's a great assumption. I don't remember. Yeah,
that's crazy. But yeah. I know Max wanted to make sure I brought up a point of saying that he also has a car that does not have blind spot monitoring, and he says that it makes him feel better when he sees cars on the road that do have it, because he's like, oh, yeah, a little extra clarification if they see me there, you know? So I
think even for a guy that has blind spot monitoring, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, there is that level of...
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm driving next to a car, and if I look over and I see I'm like, oh, at least I feel like there's some... But I think it's false confidence.
Well, here's a good point to the whole thing. I'll tell you, like, you know, checking your blind spot's not a hard thing.
No.
It's definitely...
Well, but hold on. In some of these vehicles, it is.
If you have a lifted truck and there's a slam Miata next to you, I mean, checking your blind spot might be a little hard. Like, that might be...
But even in my truck, I have an Atlas, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to call it a truck. But, you know, even in my SUV or whatever.
Yeah.
It's okay if they're forward of the second set of seats. But if they're kind of right into that trunk area...
Yeah.
There is a point where if I... Even looking in my mirror, they're not really fully... Like, I can easily miss them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well...
I'm just saying some vehicles are worse than others, right?
Yeah. But I'll say that I don't think I ever would ever really change lanes without like checking my blind spot. But now I kind of got a little bit
lazy,
kind of adjusted to having the little light on. Mm-hmm. And then if the light's not on and I've been driving on the highway and I haven't seen another car in a while and I know that the light isn't on. I mean, I don't know.
Right. Do you even look?
I don't know. Yeah. It's like crazy. It's like it almost feels like a certainty that you don't have to.
Right.
But you definitely should.
Right.
You know, another weird thing that I would say is that this was something I thought interesting in the last maybe 5 years or so.
Okay.
You know, back 10, 15 years ago when they would do safety ratings on cars.
Yeah.
Like the safety ratings were based on crash tests and roll.
Aren't they still?
No, a lot of the safety ratings now are based on features.
Yeah, but they had to still put crash dummies in a car.
I know, but something rates a high safety rating, 5 out of 5 stars or whatever the heck it is, right? That they're taking into account the safety features now. So you can have two. So in other words, you can have two cars, and one crash rating could be higher than the other, but the safety features of the lower crash rating car could make that car score higher.
I don't like that.
I think so. I might be giving false information there, but I'm pretty sure that's the way it is now.
I think crash ratings should be completely assessed separately.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I believe too. And like, you know, back when Volvo was known as like the safest car ever, because if you crash from
there, boxy but good.
Right. So I mean, Volvo had incredible crash rate, tests or whatever. Now, I mean, they're still really highly rated for crash rating, but you know, it's not solely on that anymore.
How are they with throwing kids in front of your car and stopping the car?
They're probably pretty good. Volvo has a lot of safety stuff.
Yeah. So they're probably used to like.
Didn't they limited their
Swedish,
top speeds.
Swedish people like running in front of cars or something, say stop them.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think that's something they would take into account.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, way to go, Volvo.
Mm.
We're on your side.
Yeah, they're not making that many cool cars anymore, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you know, like I said, if you're listening to this on the old podcast stuff, make sure you head over to YouTube. Throw your comments in. Let us know if you like these things or you hate these things. Have you used them? Have you been successful in avoiding accidents with them? Has any of them caused you any accidents?
Or grief.
Grief.
Is grief not the word?
I don't know. Well, how do you mean it?
Trouble? No, that's not right.
You're using it right. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, all right. Well, if you've suffered any grief, throw it down below.
There we go. Thank you.
Anyhow, we'll catch you here next week. Peace out.
Bye.